Grace, mercy, and peace to you in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I recently come across the story of a young girl who loved to sing. And she thought of herself, it'd be so easy to make a lot of money if I was just a rock star singer. And when the girl won a pass to go behind stage to her favorite singer, when she went up to him, she says, "Oh, I would give anything to have your career." The rock star said, "Anything?" The young girl says, "Yes, I would give anything to have your career." The rock star looked at her and says, "Would you be willing to practice the craft 8 hours a day?" It's the first time in her life the girl finally realized that to be successful wasn't easy. Perhaps you've experienced that in your own life. You see someone or know someone who's very good at something, and they make it look so easy. How would it be great to be able to throw a football and make millions of dollars? Until you're finally on the field and you realize there's other guys that want to kill you, and it's not that easy to make the passes those millionaires make. What kind of things have you thought easy only to realize later that are quite difficult? For me, it's always been roller skating. We didn't have a roller skating rink in our town, but whenever we went to Norfolk as a youth thing or whatever, you always get out there and you'd see people skating backwards and looking all cool, and I'm thinking, I can do this. So you slap the skates on, and what happens? First of all, you bruise your bum, and then second of all, you discover that you can only stop if you run into the wall or into another skater. And to skate backwards, forget about it. I've never been good at skating, but some people make it look so easy. You know, as a Christian, we look at the Christian faith as this should be easy peasy lemon squeezy. To be a follower of Jesus Christ, it should be easy. In fact, some pastors will tell you that when you make that commitment for Christ, as you follow Him, your marriage is going to be perfect. Financially, you're going to have it made. And by the way, your health is going to be great. Everything's going to be fine with you as a follower of Jesus. It's often known as that theology of glory. After all, God loves you. After all, God has promised to be with you always. And so therefore, wherever Jesus is, things are going to have to be easy. But today we get to our gospel lesson. We discover that things are not always what they appear to be. Things aren't as easy as we want them to be. And we're going to learn that it's not easy to be a part of the kingdom of God. And it's certainly not a walk down easy street. It wasn't for Jesus, and I can guarantee you that it won't be easy for you either. Now put yourself in the shoes of the disciples as Jesus was telling the gospel lesson for today. They must have thought that he was just kind of fibbing them after all, because he made everything look so easy. He hardly even broke a sweat when he raised Lazarus from the dead or changed the fish and the bread into a meal to feed over 5,000 people. He walked on water and made it look cool. Jesus makes everything look so easy. And then he says something like this, "I have a baptism to undergo, and how distressed I am until it is completed." Now, dear friends, this isn't the baptism that he underwent earlier with John the Baptist in the Jordan River. This baptism doesn't involve water. It doesn't involve the voice of God speaking from heaven that bright, shiny day. No, this baptism would lead to his abandonment by God the Father. This baptism was nothing less than an appointment with hell on the Friday that we like to call good. Now, each one of us have had appointments in the past that we're a little anxious about. I understand that dentists, we're supposed to be afraid of them. I love my dentist. I'm never afraid to go to him. And I think appointments should be more than 6 months. Like 3 months would be great because he's just a good guy to talk to. But I know I'm among the minority. But if you go talk to an oncologist, or if you go talk to your doctor or cardiologist, there's a little bit of anxiety that wells up inside, because what news are they going to give me? What procedure is going to take place? And it causes just a little bit of trepidation. Now, on the one hand, we oftentimes take someone with us to kind of bolster our confidence and to be there to help out and to give us encouragement. But you see, the reality is, when you think about the appointment Jesus had at the cross of Calvary, as he undergone that baptism of fire, his enemies jeered at him. And Jesus Christ was all alone. His disciples had abandoned him, had been rejected by the Heavenly Father. He was literally hanging between heaven and earth all by himself. While by the words of Jesus, as he says, I have a baptism to undergo and how distressed I am until it is completed. I tell you, Jesus shuddered at the thought of the cross, but never once did he shrink away from it. And thanks be to God, he didn't. Because Jesus Christ was whipped for every time that you and I grumble about the crosses that we bear in life. Jesus Christ was spit upon for all of that hypocrisy that wells up inside of us when we're so hesitant to forgive those who have sinned against us. Because Christ has been crucified, you have peace with God. Period. Peace with God. Your sins will not condemn you come judgment day. Because of Jesus Christ, they are forgiven. And so are mine. I don't suppose we would expect anything less from someone who is prophesied to be the Prince of Peace, that he brings peace between you and your Heavenly Father. Yet it wasn't just the end of his life that was difficult for Jesus. You know, he wasn't born into the palace where everybody waited on him hand and foot. He was the son of a carpenter. A father who made his living by creating things from wood, calloused hands, and I'm quite sure that Jesus spent plenty of time in the woodworking shop with his father, perhaps even calluses upon his hands. I'm quite sure that he had to clean up and do his chores before he was able to go out and play with his friends. Even after Jesus became popular, that first year preaching wasn't easy for him either. You know, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Jesus Christ experiences the crosses of the world. See, the reality is he didn't receive a salary, but he had to depend upon the generosity of those around him to provide him food and shelter. And then there were the religious leaders who ridiculed him and sought to put him to death because what Jesus Christ taught. No, it wasn't easy for Jesus when it came to the kingdom of God. And should it surprise us when things are not easy for us? Should it surprise us when the crosses of life come bearing down upon us? It shouldn't, because Jesus says, I have come to bring fire on earth and how I wish it was already kindled. Do you think I came to bring peace on earth? No, I tell you, but division. That sure doesn't sound like the way the Prince of Peace should talk. In fact, it was quite tempting to go to a different text than this so-called gospel text when Jesus is talking about division and strife. While Jesus came to make peace with us, with the Father in heaven, by earning that forgiveness upon the cross, he didn't come to make life necessarily peaceful. That's not surprising. When you stop and consider the nature of the message that Jesus Christ proclaimed. Jesus tells us that all who believe in him will not perish but have eternal life. But the reverse is also true. Those that don't believe in him will be eternally condemned. There is no middle ground when it comes to Jesus. You either trust him or you don't. And the consequence of not trusting him is eternal condemnation. Therefore, whenever the message of the cross of Jesus goes, fire will follow. When Jesus told the Jews that he was the only way of salvation, they were ignited with anger. Try that with the Muslim today. Go up and say, hey, there's no salvation apart from Jesus Christ. Unless you trust in him for the forgiveness of your sins, you are eternally condemned, and see how that plays out. Or just tell your polite neighbor, you know, the one that's never been in jail, the really nice guy, he's never cheated on his wife, just tell him that he's not good enough to enter eternal life. Tell him if you want to get to heaven, you have to be holy as your heavenly Father is holy. And so therefore, my brother, you have not measured up. Even family members get upset when you say stuff like that to them. Maybe you've tried it. And yet Jesus prophesies this: from now on, there will be five in one family divided against each other, three against two against three. They will be divided, father against son, and you got the whole thing right. There is division to come. Yes, the cross of Jesus Christ, and as a message, ignites fire wherever it goes. So, if you can't stand the heat, maybe we just like to get out of the kitchen. That's probably pretty good advice in most situations, but not when it comes to faith in Jesus Christ. Unfortunately, that's exactly the advice you'll get from many Christians, that following the cross of Christ starts fires within relationships, so it's just better not to say anything. It's better that in the face of sin that we just kind of shrink back and keep our mouths shut, because ultimately, no cross, no fire, no fuss, no mess, everyone's happy. Who needs conflict anyway? Can't we just all just get along? Can't we just agree to disagree? Do you ever think that way? Do you ever just think to yourself, you know what? If a friend of ours says something negative about Christianity, do we usually try to change the subject? Or if someone says something about human sexuality or the end of life issues or all those different things, do we just kind of bite our tongue and say nothing at all? If someone we love is staying away from church, do we just figure it's really none of my business, and so why would I say anything? So we simply remain silent. Yet the closer we look at Jesus' words, he says this: anyone who loves his father or mother, son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. If we think it's better to keep peace in the family than to share the life and the truth about sin and grace and everything the Bible teaches, Jesus says that we're putting our family before his message and before him. Be careful, brothers and sisters. For where there is peace, the likelihood there is no cross. In other words, if our relationships with people who don't love the cross are always peaceful, always peachy, maybe we don't love the cross as much as we think we do. Jesus warned, woe to you when all men speak well of you, for that is how their fathers treated the false prophets. Now, if you go home, you look around your house, you probably have crosses hanging here and there. But I think the challenge for this morning is, do we have the cross hanging within our heart? Is what Jesus Christ says to you and me through his word, does that compel us to proclaim the message of him crucified? Because where there is no cross, there is no forgiveness. No, all is not easy in the kingdom of God. You know, the dirty little secret is that living under the cross means that you and I will suffer. Take the prophets of old. I'm quite confident that any of the prophets, as they stood before God on that judgment day, didn't say, no more, send me back. I'm not done yet, Lord. Because all of them had suffered. because they suffered, you and I are assured to suffer as well. And with this suffering in mind, our epistle lesson today for me is very encouraging. It says, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sit down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. This morning, as we gather in this place, we gather together as the body of Christ. We gather together as the body of Christ that has a message to proclaim to a world that's literally dying to hear it. It's my prayer that we are not afraid to bear the cross and to proclaim Christ and Him crucified. Amen? Amen. We rise together. May the peace of God, which transcends all of our human understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.